Father, it was so wonderful to join together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and lift praises to you, to hear your word, to enjoy communion, thinking about what you've done for us, Lord Jesus, on the cross and your resurrection. We pray that you would continue to bless our hearts, that we would be focused on being obedient and walking in your way. We pray you'd be with this class as we discuss parenting and just try and find your way to properly raise our children to your glory, and that, Lord, we may be faithful in all we do for you. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. For you that don't know us, this is my wife, Jane. I'm Michael Mazakis, and that. This year, we've known each other for 50 years. And 42 of those years, we've been married. And we came to Christ probably when we were 29 or 30 years old. And that, so it's a little over 30 years we've known Christ and that. Dane's going to talk a little bit about how we got children. Not that in depth.
Okay. Well, when it came to the point where we were talking of having a family, much time went by, and we found we were infertile. So we were directed to an infertility specialist. Both of us were being treated with meds, and still much time went by. Nothing was happening. We looked into adoption, and didn't hear anything back from them for quite some time. And we started to give up hope. So after many months, we decided, okay, we were going to get off of the infertility medication and just see what would happen. So the month after we dropped all our meds, we found out we were expecting a little boy. And as you can see in that picture, we had four sons in 4.5 years. So, all four of them were a surprise. And the oldest one is Matthew. The next one down is Mark. The third one down is John. And the smallest is Stephen. And Stephen attends here with us. If you ever saw him up in the front where we sit, he still kind of looks like that, just much taller and still bald. So they were all a surprise.
When we got to the point of having four kids in 4.5 years, at that point we said, we think this is enough. And so Jane had seen a license plate on another car one place, and it had 4S enough. So we ended up going ahead and getting our own license plate there. So 4 is enough there. So we decided that, you know, 4 and 4.5 years and 4 boys, and being at home with all 4 of those boys, it was time for us to decide that was going to be our family size. So interestingly, with that license plate, once we were out west on vacation and somebody saw the license plate and I was filling up with gas, came running over to me and said, I have to know, is that 4 wives? 4 dogs! I had to tell him no, it was 4 boys in 4.5 years, and he understood then, too. But just really want to talk a little bit about the foundations of parenting. And really, we need to think, if you look at the little diagram there, it's just something that we put together. A lot we're talking about here is not stuff we knew when we were beginning parenting. So a lot of the stuff here is things we've learned over the last 42 years of being married. Our oldest is 36 years old, and that. So it's things that we've learned during that period of time. We didn't do the best job all the time, but we tried to follow God all the time after we had come to know God and that, so that was our source. But we really see the foundation as a husband and wife, their own relationships to God. That has to be your basis. That has to be where you get your strength from. That has to be the solid part. And that, so each of you in your relationship to God is the foundation there. On top of that, your building is your marriage. And that has to also be built on God. And so, and then on top of that is where you just go ahead and build your parenting thing. You can't keep those all in separate different boxes and say, okay, this is my parenting box, this is my marriage box, this is my relationship with God. They all have to be connected. They're all built on each other. And so that's important to us. Investing time in your relationship to God is time in prayer, time in reading the Word, meditating on the Word, time in worship. Those are all important. And so it's something that has to be the foundational part with that. And we've found that even though you're busy with 4.5 boys and they're really young, we still had four and a half boys, yeah. That's the little one on the bottom there. The golden retriever, that was a half of a kid. But our 4 kids in 4.5 years was hard, and that trying to carve out that time, but you still need to do it. And it has to be a priority in your life. And that, and you know that relationship with God is a relationship that's going to be an eternal relationship. That lasts forever. And that, and your responsibilities in that relationship are going to last forever. Your relationship with your wife, your relationship in that, your responsibilities are going to last while you still are alive. You're still married until your death occurs or rapture. You still have those relationships there as a responsibility. My relationships to my wife continues from the day I said I do until we're separated by death or rapture and that. The responsibility, so, but then responsibilities as parents, that responsibility changes. And you have to, basically lessons over time. So now our kid, our oldest is 36. I have less parenting responsibilities with my son. They're still there. A lot of my parenting responsibilities, what I view as with my son, is that I have a responsibility to continually keep him before the Lord in prayer. And that's one of the things that my responsibilities, I'm not doing things for him that I did when he was 4 years old. But that's the responsibilities lessen over time with that.
It's really important to find ways to strengthen your marriage. You need to commit your time to each other. For us, way back from when the kids were just wee little, like little Ian over there, we had a weekly date, and we still do. So that's a really important thing. We made occasions of weekends away. We went on a cruise together when the kids were young, and our parents both took turns. One came for a couple days, the other set came for the last few days while we were away. Michael surprised me with a really nice weekend away to Green Bay. We were living in the UP. And how he surprised me was, he sent me a letter and said, I won this vacation. And that he was going to pick me up in our caravan, take me away, and we went to the Embassy Suites, and we also went and saw a play. So it was a really nice time away.
It's important that you continue to build your marriage relationship and strengthen it during the time of children. Sometimes you will end up maybe being devoted so much on caring for the kids and raising your kids that you don't spend as much time on building and strengthening that relationship and marriage, and you need to continue to do that. As Jane said, you know, we tried to go on weekly dates. Now in the UP, a weekly date was going out to eat and walking around in Menards. So that's all that was open, you know. So, so that was our weekly date because there was nothing else open unless we wanted to go to a bar, you know, but we didn't want to do that. So, but that was, you know, it became just getting away. And a lot of times we still had to talk about the kids when we were away. It wasn't something that was hard, that it was easy to give up. Even on our cruise, I think it took us 3 days on our cruise to stop talking about the children and start talking about ourselves and our relationships together and that. But it's something, you know, maybe weekly dates won't work into your marriage with young children. Maybe you need to find other ways, but you need to work together to find a way that does help your marriage grow. And it's an important part, because if you don't do that, then your parenting is not going to be as strong, I believe, in that. You still can parent in that. I know there's some people that are in here that are maybe single moms, single dads, because of whatever thing. Yeah, you may not have that level of a relationship that you have as a marriage in there, but still as a mom or a single mom, single dad, you still can build on the Lord, strengthen that relationship, and then you can build your parenting on that. So it's important to think about that too. It's helpful to have the marriage in there to help strengthen the both of you working together, but the Lord can work with you and through you to raise your children. So don't worry about that. We really found, too, what was important was by investing in our marriage, investing in time with God, and our children seeing that, they think it built in a strength for them as they grew older to go ahead. And now that there are three of the four married, that I think that helped them to see what a good marriage was, okay, and helped them desire to want that and that. So they saw mom and dad being that way, that we took time out, that we were, our marriage was an important thing that even went beyond that we had to spend 24/7 with the children. And that was something that we really felt was important to build that in. So they saw that. If you value your relationship with God, if you value your marriage, your children will value that too. They'll see that. They'll learn from that, not only in your words, but they'll also observe that in nonverbal sort of type of communications and that. So. As we move on to, I guess, questions first. Anybody got any questions or concerns? Okay. As far as parenting goes, you know, in 40 minutes, we can't go through everything in that. So we're going to touch on a few things, but we're not going to be able to touch on everything and discuss everything there and that. So. Please, if you have any questions while we're talking, please raise your hand. We'll try and tackle those and that. We don't have any girl answers, so we'll leave that to some of the other people. Children, God's word says that they're a gift of God. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. James 1:17, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Now remember that perfect gift, your kids aren't perfect. The purpose for your kids is perfect, that God gives them to you, but they aren't perfect because we know that they are all sinners. And that. So they're perfect for there. They're a joyful gift. We love them and that, but they do sin, and they're going to sin against you, and they're sinners and that. So we need to keep that in mind. Sometimes it bothers us when they sin, not because we don't realize and we don't think about sometimes that they are sinners. And they sin and they say, how could you do that? Well, we know how they do that because they are sinners. Okay? This is the greatest gospel opportunity that you have. God gives you however many you have sinners in your life, and you've got a captive audience for 18 years to preach the gospel to them. So this is a great opportunity that God has given you, and that, so keep that in mind. We had a few, as far as our goals for parenting, there's a lot of different goals in parenting. The primary one we see is glorifying God. Your children are there. You need to work as a parent to bring glory to God. Everything that you do, everything that you say should be to bring glory to Christ. And so your parenting is the same thing. You need to glorify God through how you're parenting. And that. Gospel presentation, we talked about that. And that another goal is to be able to present the gospel to these little sinners that you have. Okay? And, I mean, it's every parent's desire to see their children saved. They want to see their children come to the Lord, spend eternity with God, spend eternity with you. Bring glory to God. And so gospel presentation is another goal in that. So one that we don't really think about too much is personal sanctification for you. And that's what it is. There's no easier way to see the sin in your life than a kid acting up and you responding in frustration and anger, being bitter. And that's an area that you have to work on. Okay? So they will bring personal sanctification to you as a parent. God works through them to go ahead and sanctify you. And then another goal is for us to go ahead and help our children grow up to be adults. We hope they'll be saved adults, but we pray that they will be good citizens. They'll be able to handle life and that. And so that's one of our other purposes in parenting. Jane doesn't like speaking to other people. If I spend a lot more time talking, it's because of that. When we think about it, Christ is our model for all things, and that's even for what we want as parents in our growth for our children. So Romans 8:29 says, "For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." God wants, the Father wants us to be conformed. They want your children to be conformed to Christ's likeness. And that. And so as parents, that should be what our goal is, to help our children become more like Christ and ourselves as we become more like Christ. Luke 2:52, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. And so we see these as some areas that we as parents need to go ahead and concentrate on helping our children grow. And so in wisdom, I view wisdom as the ability to take knowledge, information, and apply that to your life in a godly way so that you live out that knowledge and information in your wise and how you walk, how you talk, what you think. And stature really talks about the physical growth of your child. So where wisdom talks more on the spiritual side, the immaterial side of a person, stature is that. Now, we can't make our kids grow any taller than they are, okay? But what we can do is help them physically in their growth. Are we providing the needs, the means for them to grow? So providing food, their care and their health, activities for their physical body, things like that as parents. It'd be bad for us to neglect doing that, okay? To let them go ahead and not provide those things. In favor with God, this is where we as parents want to bring the gospel and help them understand who Christ is. And so we want them to be able to grow in favor of God. We pray for them. We give them the gospel. We teach them about God, about Christ, teach his word. In favor with men, what we want our children to do is be good citizens. We want them to be moral. We want them to be acceptable in society and that. So, I mean, it's not to try and want a child to act in proper way is something that we should all desire in that. And I know it's difficult. We don't want to just be legalistic in a sense, but we do want our kids to be able to obey authority, follow things that are in God's word as far as how our interactions are going to be in that. And so this is what we want to go ahead and do. These are kind of the models for the growth there. So any questions? So we put down a few what we consider practical considerations, things that we like to go ahead and think about in that for parents. One is to be prepared. And it's a pretty broad area, but really when you go ahead and are having children, thinking about having children, when you think about all the commands in God's word, a lot of them don't flesh out exactly how you're going to go ahead and do those. Talks about parents disciplining their children. How do you plan on doing that? Are you going to wait till the situation comes up and then just say, okay, I'm going to spank them, I'm going to give them time out, I'm going to take away privileges? I think you need to prepare ahead of time on how you're going to go follow God's commands and principles. And we spent a lot of time recently in the book of Romans talking about gray areas. Gray areas are fine when you interact with other believers, but in your house, you need to have set rules on your gray areas. So a gray area is, just think of, let's say, dating. There's really nothing in God's word that talks about dating per se. What are you and your wife going to say when your child is 14 years old and wants to go out with an 18-year-old? Well, I think most of us would say no, but, but do you have a reason to be able to come to the child and have kind of a reason why you say that? Okay. When our schooling comes around, are you going to decide with your parents, with your children, the parents are going to decide, how do you want your children to be schooled? You have many options out there. Is it going to be schooling them as far as with homeschooling? Are you going to go ahead and do public schools, private schools, charter schools? Not no school at all. But I mean, these are areas that you need to discuss ahead of time. If you're not prepared, you're not going to be consistent in how you present things to your children. It talks about not embittering your children. If you aren't prepared and you keep moving the boundaries around on your children and what you say, it's going to be very difficult for your children to understand where they are supposed to be at in that. So, talk about team. No?
There may be more things than we talked about. Okay, we need to work together, and a lot of times we would be a tag team, such as we homeschooled our four boys. And if I was just drained by the time Michael would get home, I kind of would have to go, you're it. So he would take over. And rarely would we disagree about parenting in front of our children. We were really united in front of them. But if there was something that might come up that the other one disagreed with, we would excuse ourselves and go in another room and talk about it. And we would come back then and we'd say, you know, one of us was not in agreement with the other one. And we'd have to show the boys that both mom and dad agreed on whatever was set there in our home.
We really wanted the children to feel that the answer they were going to get from mom is the same answer they're going to get from dad and that.
And they will test you. A lot of you know that, where one of them would come and say, hey, Mom, can I do this or that, or go here or there, or whatever, and I would say, what did your dad say? They'd already been to him. So that's what goes.
And yeah, it was just, we wanted the kids to see us as a team, united. The household rules were rules that they would expect from both of us and that. And we just worked on, we tried to work on things together and showed that teamwork to the children, that mom and dad were parenting together on the same page, always doing the same things together and that. The times when we would have to pull away and may not be in agreement was a lot of times we would just have, Jane would say, Michael, can I talk to you a minute? In the midst of me talking to the kids. And so we would have to, I knew then I screwed up when I heard that. So then I had to figure out that. And we'll talk a little bit about being humble and repenting later on down here. But yeah, you know, we tried to just constantly present that front that mom and dad were on the same page and that. And sometimes we have to bite our lip and think, I may have wanted to say something differently, or or may have wanted to, you know, would have talked a little differently to the children at that point, or brought up a different point in God's word at that point, or you didn't bring up God's word at that point, and maybe you should have in that, and talked about, you know, why we chose to do this. So, as far as being consistent, we talked a little bit about that. We wanted to be consistent in how we applied God's word in the house and how we applied our house rules, or how we basically interpreted some of the gray areas and how that was in our house. So we went ahead and tried to be consistent, not only just in the applications of those from day to day, but between children. Sometimes some child may get under your nerves more than another child will, and that. And so at times you have to remember, yeah, I'm going to have to be consistent between, you know, the children in both ways and that. So that sometimes was difficult in that, because one child sometimes can really get under your nerves. We won't talk about names. In disciplining, that was the other thing, is just we wanted to be consistent in our discipline too, and that. And the other thing in discipline, we wanted that they could understand that both mom and dad were going to provide the same type of discipline to them, and that mom was not going to say, wait till your father gets home, and that, because we felt that was pushing the act of disobedience or sin or whatever farther away from the punishment, and we feel that they should be close at hand to go ahead and encourage that. Sometimes in discipline we didn't want to discipline in anger, but at times sometimes some frustration at the time when they sin can be a helpful thing. You want to talk about the spoon?
Well, we had different ways of disciplining our kids. We did use spanking, we did use timeouts and soap in the mouth. And also, we had a thing called the power spoon. And that was my cooking spoon that never touched one of our kids. But one day, it was just way out there. And they were flying off the walls, would not be obedient, would not listen or anything. And I threw that spoon on the floor, and it hit the leg of the chair, and it bent. So we went along calm at the power spoon. So whenever things were getting crazy, all you had to mention was, do I need my power spoon? Or just get it out of the drawer, set it on the counter, and they'd hear it click on the counter, and they'd be like whispering like, oh no, mom's got it out. So, yeah, but we were consistent in our ways with the kids, though. And there was this one time that the three older kids were picking on the younger one. The youngest one's name is Stephen, and they started calling him his name backwards, Neppets. And Stephen got very upset about it and came running to us, and we sat the older three down and gave him a talking to and said, there will be no more calling him that and call him by his name. Well, a couple days goes by, and I'm in the kitchen, and I hear, I'm telling mom. So I start down there toward the bedroom where they all were and got into the hallway, and we had a bathroom and the light was on, and I looked in there and there was John with the liquid soap doing it on himself. So he knew what was coming to him. He got to it before I
But it was, they were, by us being consistent, they became, I think, respectful of, they knew that if they did go ahead and do something that was not honoring to mom and dad, if something that was sinful, if something that was disobedient, that they were going to be punished. And the soap example was, John knew it was coming, so he might as well go do it to himself. You know, and the power spoon, even, you know, as Jane said, we never spanked them with the spoon. It was always our hand and that. But it became an object that their actions were either disobedient, or they're not they maybe not to the point of sinfulness most of the time in that sort of severe sense, but they knew that they were crossing the line, mm-hmm. and it became just a nice object for us to use, and we just would have to say that. And even now, when our older son is there and has his four kids there, he will say, "Do I have to bring out Grandma's power spoon?" They've told them the story, and they and we go down and get the power spoon. We've kept it, and that's
okay. Yeah. Oh, and a couple weeks ago, we were discussing this at lunch with Sharon and Jim Kaipoff, and they said they had a similar thing. They had the green stick that Jim had made, and it hung inside of the kitchen cupboard door. And she said when things were getting crazy in their house, all she had to do was open that door, and that spoon would rub on the inside of the cupboard, and her kids would straighten right up.
Moving on, you need to be protective of your children. You know, it seems pretty obvious. You know, we want to keep them out of danger, keeping out ways that they'll harm themselves, things like that. But it's something that you always have to kind of think about there. It's both the spiritual concern that you have for them. You don't want them to get in situations that could be spiritually damaging to them, and that you don't want them also to get in situations that are physically in that. And one thing that now drives me crazy is that in our neighborhood, they put out those turtles with the flags out there saying, you know, slow down, don't drive so fast, kids playing. And I'm consciously always driving slower by these houses, but you see the kids all playing around and there's no parent out at all. These are young kids that are 2 years old, and you look in the driveway and there's no parent out at all. And you wonder, has a turtle taken over the parent's responsibility in that? And that concerns me that we just, you know, they think that, you know, that they can ignore being parents and they can let their kids be out in the yard running around. So the physical safety of your children, keep that in mind. It changes as they grow. So they're small and you keep them from falling down the steps by putting gates up, or, you know, everybody puts a little stuff in the sockets so they don't stick their fingers in there or forks in there, things like that. But as they get older, you think about them driving and things like that. There's other things that you're concerned with their being protective of them. Companions. Okay, I'm dropping things on her, so you don't need to know.
The children. Wait. And our neighbors.
When our kids were young, not always knowing the neighbors and where they are spiritually and what the households were actually like, not always knowing them real clear, we kind of made it a thing at our house that we would love and always invited them, trying to be hospitable to the neighborhood kids and have them play at our house or in our yard and things like that. So not knowing what the environment was at the other house all the time or with the other parents and things like that. So it's that way too, in a sense we were trying to be protective. It also gave us an opportunity to, when they're on our property, that we could kind of witness in some ways to the little children in some ways and things like that.
How does what you're saying tie into sleepovers?
We allowed sleepovers in the sense with there were people from our church that we were comfortable with, but I'm less liking sleepovers now, mm-hmm. and that personally, I'm concerned about that. So our big thing too with sleepovers was they stayed up too late, not only the concern about protecting them, as far as spiritually and physically at another place that we weren't really sure, but the concern too with sleepovers was disrupting their sleep, just messing them up for a couple days, and they were more chancing of disobedience in that period of time. So
if you had children, young kids in today's age, it's kind of putting you on the spot, what would you say?
Probably say no.
No.
Or if they would have sleepovers, it's at our house. Sending them to another house,
right.
I would not be concerned. So.
Tim Challies had a good article on sleepovers. Did you read that?
Yeah.
It's probably one of his most popular articles on his website was on sleepovers.
Yeah.
He got a really good article on it somewhere. would agree with you, Michael.
Ian, did you?
Internet is huge these days. Parents really got to be savvy enough to know, you know, what they can get into and how to protect them from it. I don't envy that these days. That's really tough.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, we, when our kids were pretty young, or quite a bit up until we were living in the UP, and we had dial-up service, so if they wanted to download some picture, it would take them 15 minutes, and Mom and Dad would be there. Plus, we kept our computer in our kitchen dining area, so, and it faced, so it was there, so they could not get on there and try and see anything and go somewhere that it wasn't. We had no cell service up there, so I mean, the ideas of protectiveness with cell service and cell phones and things like that, that is something nowadays that I think is a challenge for parents. And so the internet, just the social media aspect and cell phones and things like that are a new challenge that we didn't have to go through in that. But it's a more difficult thing. You need to wrestle with those things. And again, the idea of being prepared, or you need to wrestle ahead of time before your 12-year-old comes and asks for a cell phone, and that you need to have thought about that, talked about that, prayed about that, and read about that with other, from other possible, you know, Christian online places and that, to see what views other people have that are in that. So, any other questions? Next one we kind of put down was be forgiving. We sometimes like to hold on to grudges as people, and that, and it's not a good thing for us to do. And if our kid does sin, break one of our house rules, disobedient, things like that, you as a parent have to release that once you worked through the issue with them. You can't come a month later and say, you're doing the same thing we did before to you. I mean, occasionally you can bring up that this seems to be a pattern, but to use that as a punishment to them, you know, you haven't learned at all, you did this before, is not a way to go ahead and approach your children on something. So be forgiving, be careful how much you go ahead and bring up things in the past that they did to you or to their brothers or things like that. Okay, so you need to be forgiving for those issues and that. Be humble. I had mentioned this before. If you sin against your child, or if they see you sinning against your wife, you need to go and repent, and you need to go ahead and ask forgiveness. Ask forgiveness of your wife. If your children see you doing something that's sinful against her, you need to, and they should see that too. You shouldn't just go and ask for forgiveness of your, if they witnessed you doing something that was sinful in your speech to your wife or whatever. My kids had to be there to see me repent and say, ask for forgiveness. They need to see that you are willing to do that, that you can do that, and that's the right way for them to act. And if you've done something to them that was wrong, blew up, you know, got angry, whatever it was for your children, you need to ask them for forgiveness and explain, Dad was wrong in doing this. One time I was driving the kids, we had moved down to Ohio for a few years, and driving the kids to their school, and there was a guy in front of me who was driving 20 miles under the speed limit. Great-grandpa. I call him great-grandpas now because I'm a grandpa now, so they can't. he was driving real slow, and I was going to get the kids there to school late. And then I'd have to go to each of their rooms and explain why they were late, and that was part of the policy at the school. So I passed him, and right then the crossing gate went down at a railroad. So I decided to go around that, even though I know it's wrong, and I've told the kids it's wrong too. I decided to go around it. Well, the sheriff was on the other side. So the sheriff pulls me over, and I get my ticket. I have to explain to the kids, Dad was wrong. He sinned. You know, he broke the law. and all this kind of stuff that way, take them to school, go to all the rooms and explain. So, you know, you have to go ahead and do that, be humble. On the way back home, I was behind the guy again.
Same guy.
Same guy. I pulled off on the side of the road and just sat there for 10 minutes and didn't move. So, but yeah, you need to be humble. You need to ask for forgiveness and that. So, you need to be supportive.
Yep, support your children and what they do. And our oldest two boys, when they got to be teenagers, had some other guys in the church that played instruments. They decided to form their own little Christian band. So they started setting up all these little gigs at different churches and stuff. And we went along. We were roadies. We went wherever they went, and we were right there cheering them on, clapping for them, and all that. And when they all got into sports, all but Stephen, the youngest one, didn't. But, yeah, we had John on the BMX bikes, and Matt and Mark were on baseball teams, and we were at their games watching and supporting them in those. So it's really important to be there for your kids.
Be there, be supportive. And the same thing, too, is what we, as a family, though, we wanted to support the family, too. So we did not allow some of these activities to interfere with family life. And so that was one thing that was important to us. We wanted to make sure we were supportive as they did things, but we didn't want all their things to interfere with us as a family. And that our one son wanted to play hockey in the UP. They practiced on Sundays hockey, and the travel teams went away to other cities on the weekends and on Sundays. And we just said, no, Sundays is our time as a family, is the time for us to go to church. And at that time, we had to tell him no, that that wasn't something that we could do and that he could participate in that. So at times, you know, you want to support them and what they want to do in that, but you also have to, also the family is the main unit, and we don't want things that break up those sort of things there. Be flexible, be structured. Some families are really structured, and you got to throw a little bit of flexibility in there and allow things to happen. Other families just live in flexibility, and nothing's set in stone, nothing's there, and just whatever happens that day when you wake up happens, and that you need to have a little bit of structure for the kids so they understand that, but you also have to have some flexibility in what you do, and so that today, you know, you're going to go ahead and do things. And so some days, it was in the UP, we get up, we were homeschooling, I was off, and we just say, yeah, we're not going to homeschool today. We're going to go for a hike in the woods. And so we take off and go to hike in the woods. We go do some things and that. But we try and, you know, talk about some school things along the way, but we try to be sometimes have a little flexibility in our life to go ahead and change things up and that.
And as our kids started getting a little bit older, we found that they were making all kinds of plans with other kids or to have other kids over to do things, and we got out the calendar and we started using the black magic marker, and we would make a frame around certain days, and they saw the calendar, we had it posted, if it had the frame around it, that was family day. They made no plans. And we'd do fun stuff with them. We'd always plan something on those days that it was a pizza and game night, whatever, you know, and we'd always have a good time with the kids. It was important to have that time with them.
The last one we have on here is be a listener. You need to give your children the attention, listen to them. You know, sometimes for me, coming home and I was busy at work, and sometimes it was just like I had to force myself to actively listen to what my children were saying and that. And so it's an important that you listen to them, that they know that what they think and what they say is important. And so you want to go ahead and be that, actively listen to them, give them your full attention. And that it's just important. You expecting them to actively listen to you, you should also have to be listening to them, too. So, yeah. Questions? Sorry, keeping you awake.
With four boys, how did you not compare them? You know, this one did this at this age, or...
It was...
You know, teenage years.
It was hard. We that was one thing when we were not going to actively... We made a purpose, and we just said, we're not going to compare the kids. We're not going to compare this one does better in school than this other one. This one does better in music than this other one. We just tried not to compare them in those sense. They're trying to do that, and it was just, you would just have to try and stop and say, am I trying, in my mind, doing that? Am I comparing them? This one acts better than that one all the time. Whatever. It was just a choice we made, and we just had to try our best to keep up with doing that and that. And the same. Yeah, it's something ahead of time that we just purposely, we were not going to compare the kids. We were not going to push the kids in the sense that we wanted them to go a certain path, and if one kid followed that path, like, you know, going into college, and the other one decided not to go into college, we were not going to say consider that one was better than another one in that sense. So we did not do that sort of comparison. It was just something we decided before, as they were very young, we weren't going to do that. So. Any other questions?
Just wondering, like, as your children get older, and you say you set certain principles, say like a daily Bible reading, and you notice maybe one of your children isn't interested or has a bent to not want to do that sort of thing, at what point do you, you know, do you enforce and say, this is what we do as a family because we serve God as a family? Or at what point do you have to be worried about maybe embittering your child and making them resentful towards God for you forcing them to do that?
Yeah. When it was things as far as like a family worship time and reading together or doing a little bit of a Bible study that maybe I would lead, it was mandatory. It was basically, you know, this is what God wants us to do. I wasn't too worried. At least I didn't think I was. I wasn't worried in my mind that that was going to embitter them. And they were, you know, at times they were receptive, at other times they would just be fiddling around and not really listening. And I just, it's okay, we're just going to work through this anyway, and we're going to teach it and go through it, or we're going to read God's word, or we're going to pray and that. And so didn't really think about that part with that. If it didn't have to deal specifically with issues of God and that, I may have to look at things differently. One thing we found, we did end up homeschooling for our kids. We found out in homeschooling that our kids all learn differently. And at the beginning, we bought all of the same curriculum, but in their age range for them. We found out it worked for one or two, but it didn't work for them. But we had ended up reading this book called The Way We Learn, and it talked the way they learn, the way I learn too. But the way they learn, and it was basically talked about all different ways that people learn and that. So some of it, you know, is we had one son that just went and sit down and read his textbooks, and he had no interest in much of what mom and dad said besides check my papers and things like that and do the test. He just learned by just reading. Another one learned more by visual sort of things, and another one learned more by audio, by just talking, and that he enjoyed better listening to learn and that. So we used different ways with the children. We ended up having three, four different curriculums for our kids and that. So trying to teach them in the way they learned. And sometimes we had to learn if what we were doing may be helpful for one child. If we just sat down and read things, one child might be fine. Another one, we may have to mix all three, four ways in if all of the kids were together. So that's one thing that we ended up learning, how to do that. So. Any other questions?
As someone who's not married and does not have children, obviously,
keep your nose.
What are some practical things that I can do now to prepare myself to be a good wife and a good mom someday?
Yeah. I think the best thing is to be the best woman for Christ in that. So once, if you devote yourself to becoming more Christ-like, knowing God's word, I think you'll be better prepared for one marriage when the person comes around for you, when God provides that. And I think when if God blesses you with a husband, if God blesses you with children, you'll be prepared. As I said, that foundation on there is built you and God. And so if that's strong, when the next step comes, if it's a husband, then you'll be more prepared to have a stronger marriage. So, and that, but that's it. Knowing God's word is probably the best thing. Any other questions? I think a lot of what we started out with was mainly teaching them about how awesome God was. So we lived in the UP a lot, so we talked about God and creation and how, that he created everything. We looked at the beauty of things around there. And so, in that we could say God was able to create all these things and that. And just how high and holy God is above when you see all those things and that. And then it was to bring out different things as far as sin goes and that. So just go ahead and fear God and point out God says this is a sin. And, it depends on what age they're at that you can give them an understanding of sin and punishment and things like that. So that's when we just kind of, it's age dependent on what their understanding is and that. So, but we used a lot of, since we were up in the UP, it was easy to talk about creation and at night looking up at the stars and the Milky Way, which we could see up there. And, we just talk about those things of God and how he created things and bring in the Bible verses that pertain to all those and that. So, any other questions? Well, why don't we go ahead and pray, and if anybody has any questions, they can come up and talk. Father, it is an awesome thing to come before you and think about the joy that you have given us, the privilege to be parents, and the privilege that you have given us that you've given us children, that we can be the means that you work through to bring salvation to them and to make them into adults that are worshipers of you. We pray that you would work through us for our children. We pray you would give us grace and mercy that we would be able to grow and help our children grow in faith. We're so thankful for the love that you have shown us. We're thankful that we are your children and how you work on us to help us grow to become conformed to your Son, our Lord and Savior. Continue to bless us through this day, Lord. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Very well.